Welcome to the PDPW podcast, brought to you by Professional Dairy Producers, dairy's professional development organization.
Good morning. This is Bruce Vinson, a third-generation logger from Libby, Montana. And I'd like to talk with you today about something that's heavy on my heart. And that something is the state of our union. I was going to discuss something else until the shots rang out Saturday at the Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. And when that happened, I was rocking our one-day-old 19th grandchild, a baby boy named Cannon. I was sitting alongside his Green Beret father, who's still recovering from injuries that nearly killed him in Afghanistan when he was fighting for our nation's freedoms. And I was surrounded by the tiny newborn's aunts, uncles, and cousins when I watched the news on the attempted assassination of President Trump and the tragic murder of Cory Compitor. I was immediately both heartbroken and furious like the rest of us. How could this happen in our country? How could we let the tough discourse of policy differences end up yielding the life-shattering events that took the life of a father attending a rally? As I was fuming and as the tears were running down my face and onto the wrappings of my newborn grandson, as I found myself ranting about the situation to my assembled family in the living room, God finally grabbed me by the heart and pointed out the real work that's going to have to be done to save our nation. And with half a dozen young eyes of the next generation watching me rock and rant and rave, I was forced to take stock of my role in the toxic hyperbole in the center of my universe, my living room. I finally began thinking about what the framers of our nation laid out for keeping it whole. I thought about the language those brilliant framers put in the preamble to the Constitution. They said, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." They did not say, "We the institutions of the United States." They did not say, "We the political parties of the United States." They did not say, "We the media of the United States." They said, "We the people." When we get rid of all the mudslinging partisanship, when we get rid of all the clickbaiting media's marketing push based upon if it bleeds, it leads, when we get rid of the institutions blaming other institutions for the state we find our union in, we're left with the real heart and soul of the greatest nation on earth. We the people. Since those shots rang out and nearly killed President Trump and did cause the death of a firefighting father who was sitting behind him and injured two others, there's been a full-throated call from all sides of the political divide to lower the rhetorical venom in our policy debates. That's good, that's right, and that's necessary. However, the refining of our moral center, the refining of civil discourse, the refining of what it means to be an American will not be born in the political parties or the media. These institutions thrive on conflict and controversy. They need fights to get their voters, to get their viewers, to get their clicks, to pay their bills. They are industries of conflict in a nation that is exhausted by conflict. The recentering of our nation, the ensuring of domestic tranquility, will not be found in a rally setting of any candidate running for elected office. Instead, it's going to be born in the living rooms and over the backyard fences of we the people. The state of our union is not determined by outsiders trying to get us to choose a side. It will be determined by how we deal with issues, with controversy, with challenging times. How we deal with them in our hearts, in the words we share in our homes, within our circle of family and friends, and in our foundational relationship with our God. This weekend, as I pondered the state of our union, I forced myself to remember the real strength of our nation, our people. The framers said, "We the people." As I wondered what we're going to leave for Cannon's generation, I looked around my home, my family, my neighborhood, my community. I contemplated the nature of the real people in my life that are making their way through these challenging times and finding joy and finding peace and finding solace in the unconditional love of their Savior. Am I and are my family and friends concerned about our nation? Yeah. Are we on the news wearing a mask or shouting in a microphone? No. Are we choosing during this election year to support the political candidate that agrees with our ideas of how we move forward? Yeah. Do all of them agree on, all my friends and family agree on who they're going to vote for? No. I have a circle of friends that I've known since before starting school. We're the best of friends. We take a bullet for each other. And politically, we are the entire spectrum from right to left. Do we have discussions and disagreements between each other about who's right and who each of us thinks is wrong? Absolutely and vigorously. And then we play a game of crib or cornhole or horseshoes, grab a pop or a beer, and enjoy sharing life with each other. Give each other a hug or a handshake, and promise to see each other at the next gathering, and we hope it will be soon. My point's simple. Political parties, the media, other nameless institutions will not correct the toxicity we find ourselves in. The corrective action that will lower the rhetorical volume and stop the demonizing of those we disagree with has to begin with us. We can wonder why those in D.C. or those in the mainstream media can't disagree civilly. I know it's possible to have political discussions without personal attacks. I watched my oldest son, who was elected in his late 20s to represent our area in the House and then the Senate. I watched him work through his terms in the Montana House of Representatives and Senate by building civil relationships with both sides of the aisle. We have term limits in Montana. And when he was finally termed out, I got to be in the balcony when he, the third most conservative member of our state Senate, was the first sitting Republican to ever get a retirement gift from the Democratic caucus on the floor of the Senate. He had major policy arguments with those from the other side of the aisle and sometimes within his own party. But those differences were not personal. They were political. And he became friends with people with whom he disagreed. So I know it's possible in the political arena to not have the toxic environment we're currently seeing all over our country. But now, in election year 2024, we must never lose sight of the hard fact that correcting the nastiness we feel in the larger public body starts at home, our family, our friends, our words, our God. On Saturday after the shots rang out, I forced myself to consider the real state of our union, the real health of our nation, and my personal role in how to make sure that what we're leaving future generations is a more perfect union with domestic tranquility. As I rocked my grandson, I had to force myself to not turn to the news filled with talking heads trying to tell me how or what to feel. But instead, I had to look into the mirror and consider the state of my union and my living room and my role in assuring that the toxicity of the outer world is not perpetuated by my example. I wrestled with my anger and told myself and my family that we need to remember that God has this, and our part of it is as simple as keeping the faith. I don't think I'm alone in my beliefs. Through my speaking over 3 decades, I've had the privilege of meeting and getting to know people from all over our country, from all political spectrums. I've met people in the city that welcomed me and my rural culture and embraced me and us for who we are. I know that they, too, are working hard in their living rooms to do the right thing and keep the faith. No one likes the direction our national dialogue has gone. I'm glad to hear people in the news saying what my friends and family, who are as politically diverse as our nation as a whole, have been saying for the last several years. Enough. Now we each have a responsibility to do our part. And it starts in our hearts and in our homes and in our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have an unshakable faith that the moral fiber that built the greatest nation on earth is alive. I know it is in my home. I know it is in my circle of friends, some of whom I disagree with politically, but each of us, and that includes me, must look inward and act within our hearts, our homes, and our circle of influence to keep the faith alive. So after I watched the tragedy in Butler, Pennsylvania, and the aftermath, I prayed for the family of Corey Comprador, who paid the worst price for the hatred that so consumed a 20-year-old that he climbed on a building and shot into a crowd. I prayed that the parties and the institutions and the media would tone down the damn rhetoric, but they won't. And then, while rocking my 8-pound, 6-ounce grandson, I recommitted myself to controlling the dialogue in my own head and in my own heart and in my own home. And I gave thanks to my God that in my living room and in millions of living rooms, we the people, the State of the Union, in our living rooms is struggling, but strong and filled with hope for the future. We can find our way forward as a nation, but the forward movement will only begin when we embrace the reality that our nation will only change direction from the bottom up, not the top down, and it begins with the faith in our heart and in our homes. That is the incubator where the true state of our nation is found and where it will be saved. I'm going to work hard on it this week, and I ask you to do the same. Have a blessed week. The state of our union is just fine.
Our thanks to Bruce Vincent for today's message. Bruce, a third-generation logger from Libby, Montana, and co-owner of the community outreach firm Environomics. Learn more about Bruce at brucevincentspeaking.com. And for archive PDP podcasts, visit pdpw.org. Until next time, have a great week.